97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Okay, I'll bite.
Junior Walker and the All-Stars.
Right?
From the 60s.
I know the song.
It's called Shotgun.
Oh, okay. I don't think I ever realized that. Oh, that's the... yeah. Shotgun!
Yes!
All right. All right. This one's not as obvious as normally.
It's the very first word.
That's a good point. That's a good point. It's still not as obvious as normal, but I like it. I like it. I like the variety.
We're spanning... the entire yes. musical spectrum.
That is producer Carl Middleman, and this is Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. My name is Tony Colombo. My partner, Bo Matthews, is here as well. Bo, great to see you.
Present, yes. How are you, man?
Great to see you, and great to talk to everyone. Great to have Carl back in the studio. Big thanks to Jake last week. Jake was great. He really raised the bar. So
yet he didn't call anyone to confirm the day before, because I kept getting calls. That's
there
all right.
There we go. First crack there.
Shots fired.
In the Jake armor. But yeah, great to have you back. We are going to talk to Carl about his adventures in the great outdoors on his vacation.
This week's
podcast a little bit. Don't forget that not only do we have this great radio show that you are listening to, and we certainly appreciate you doing that, but we also have our podcast exclusive every week. And you can get both the radio show and the podcast exclusive in podcast form just about anywhere that you get podcasts. But I would recommend the radio.com app, because the radio.com app is free, and you can rewind live radio with the radio.com app. You can stream the radio station 24/7 on the radio.com app, and you can get the podcast of this show and every other show on the station on the radio.com
whatever
app.
Station so you're listening to,
whichever one. If you're listening to us on 97.1, you can get everything from that station there. If you're listening to us on KMOX, you can get everything from that station there also. So go and check it out. Got a whole lot to talk about this week. We are going to get into a lot of the news of the week involving the Second Amendment. We've been waiting, Bo, ever since Joe Biden took office, for him to get to his Second Amendment gun platform. We knew this was something that was very that he harped on during the campaign, had a very long piece of his website dedicated to gun reform. However, out of the box, with all the other things and all the other issues that he addressed, the Second Amendment was suspiciously not talked about for a couple months. But now, oh, man, it is front and center, and there is a lot of potential gun legislation that is being debated in Washington, D.C., so it looks like the president has gotten to that part of his agenda.
And we knew ahead of time that he was looking for that opportunity to do that, and sadly, this country's had two major shootings in a couple of weeks' time, or a week's time, I guess. And, you know, my first thing that pops into my mind is this is a mental health issue. The family of the guy in Colorado even said he was, you know, socially inept. He was, you know, a loner. He had the FBI even had him under investigation. So where is the fail here? Because, you know, the people that listen to this program, for the most part, I would guess, support the Second Amendment. Your guns, my guns, aren't causing problems, right? You own them. You are, you know, you go to the shooting range with them. This is not about mass gun ban. This is about mental health. I've talked to law enforcement officials in the last 24 hours. They said this is a mental health issue. Mm-hmm. This is sad. And look at the last year we've all been through. You know, I've gone through my bouts of depression. I've gone through, you know, anxieties and things like that. It's just how you handle it. So if there's going to be an improvement on the background check thing, it's tough because we already do extensive background checks. And I'm anxious to hear what Aaron has to say of how it can be tweaked to talk about mental illness.
Yeah. You know? So the great thing about this radio show is we have great experts like our friends from Razorback Armory, who we'll talk to later in the show. Also in today's show, the great outdoors is never going to get left out, especially this time of year when, you know, it's getting so nice outside and it's time to get back out and enjoy the great outdoors. We're also going to talk to the author of Big Game Hunting 101, Fred Cloaklier? We got to figure this out before.
Klecker.
I'm going to let you introduce him so I don't mess up his last name when he gets here.
No, you're going to be fine.
Klecker, Fred Klecker. Okay, I just don't want to mess up that name. So we're going to talk to him in the next segment. Right now, we're going to start the show, as we always do, with our friend Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory, one of the great sponsors of this show. And he joins us at the beginning of every week. And Aaron, you know, with all of this Second Amendment and gun legislation on the table and being discussed suddenly, you know, that could have some impact to your industry. How are you feeling about everything that has developed in the news this week?
So, I mean, it's amazing. I saw a statistic that said your chances of being involved in a mass shooting, they gave a number, and then they compared it to being struck by lightning. And those numbers were very similar. So, I mean, people still get struck by lightning. Mass shootings will happen, right? I mean, it's just a sad fact. But when you really look at what we're trying to ban here, you know, when it comes to rifles, and the FBI puts out a statistic, it's all rifles, whether it's a shotgun, bolt action, lever, pump, semi-auto. They don't distinguish, you know, AR-15 or AK or FAL or anything else. You're talking like 400 something people. But then when you look at stabbings, way more. Okay, so we're not banning knives. And whenever you've seen, you can look at Great Britain, and they got rid of guns and stabbings went up. Okay, so it is what it is. There are bad people in the world. They want to do harm. And if you ban guns, they're going to use knives, they're going to use cars, they're going to use baseball bats, they're going to use anything at their disposal to cause injury and death.
Bad people are going to find ways to do bad things.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I will say this, that both cases in Georgia and in Colorado, in Boulder, they were both mental health issues. The guy in Georgia, wasn't it? He had a sex addiction, and that's why he went and assaulted them and shot these two, you know, that place up, or those several places up. It's very sad. Mental health is so rampant. We hear about suicides up so much amongst young people, or, you know, people that have gone through. Look what this country has just gone through, guys. It's sad. So, Aaron, you're right, because if they don't have access to a firearm, they will figure out a way to hurt people, because that's the evil in them. That's the mental disorder in them. If they don't have their meds or whatever, you know what I'm saying? It's very dicey. So my question to you, Aaron, would be, how can they refine the background checks to include, or in this case, exclude somebody buying a firearm?
So there already is in Missouri the ability to adjudicate somebody from the ability to purchase a firearm due to mental illness. The problem is that it's not really sure how often it's used. The legislature passed it in the statutes. There is the ability to do it. The question is are these doctors aware, right? And are these doctors willing to go through this process and tread on somebody's rights in the short term, where they can get help, and then when they become stable, their rights can be restored? And that's the question.
Aaron, I don't know if you saw this week. It's not Biden. It's not the administration or the actual politicians involved, but this story does shine quite a light on where many people on the left, the anti-gun crowd, I think this story highlights where their heads are at, and it goes right along with what we're talking about. The CNN host Allison Camerota was on the air this week on her show, and She posed the question, why aren't gun stores, why aren't you, Aaron, at Southern Armory, asking your customers about their mental health before you sell them a gun? Let me read you this quote and then get your reaction to it. This is Allison Camerota from CNN. Why don't we go to gun shop owners and say, do you think that this 21-year-old who comes in and wants an AR-15 style weapon, do you think he looks like he's going hunting with this weapon? Did you ask him? By the way, do you think people are chasing you? Do you ever hear voices saying that people are coming for you? Do gun store owners ever ask questions like that? Aaron, I know how ridiculous that statement is, but here's a journalist on national television posing those type of questions. So obviously there are some people that have this question and thought process. What's your reaction to that? Of somebody asking you, hey, before you sell these people their guns, why don't you ask them? Do they hear voices in their heads? Do they feel like they're being chased? Are you going to go hunting with that gun?
Have you had the coronavirus vaccine?
You're not wearing a camo vest, so maybe you're not going hunting. What's going on?
Right.
Go ahead, Aaron.
you want somebody who's not a healthcare professional,
right,
specifically in mental health, ask these questions and then make a judgment call. So, let's be realistic here. Now, if somebody comes in and they're like, yeah, I need, and they're blatantly saying, I need an AR-15 and a 100-round drum mag to go shoot people, we're not going to sell the gun.
Checks and balances.
Right.
Yeah, we can decline the sale for that.
As we've talked before, Aaron, I know that if somebody is behaving very awkwardly, strangely in your store, then you will not ask those questions, but you will take some kind of action to make sure. Like, you're not just, you are going to obviously assess on a surface level what you can, but
right.
But that's only if somebody's very obviously disturbed or having problems. It's not your job to ask them about, probe into, their background and ask them about what's going on in their
brain. That's what the background checks are for.
That's what the background checks are for, and that's what the doctors are for. Certainly not your responsibility.
I would like to add in there on this. You remember when you were in elementary school, they showed pictures of different people, and they said, okay, tell us which one's the bad guy. Because it's not always the guy that looks crazy. It could be the guy that is normal looking. So you may never even know.
That's right.
So that to me is a very thin line, because other than that, all you can do is do the background check. Is there paperwork on this guy? Is this guy committed a felony? Right. Is there a criminal?
And again, if the doctors go through the process to adjudicate somebody as mentally incompetent, this Missouri State Highway Patrol puts it in the FBI's NICS system, and they get flagged. So, there is that process. Question is it utilized, or are officials that can do that scared to adjudicate somebody mentally incompetent and violate their civil rights? So, it's a slippery slope, guys.
No doubt.
And is there a process? There is. I know there is.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it, as far as in the statute. And
we're going to get more into this. This is not going anywhere. We're going to talk about this in the coming weeks and throughout the rest of this show about some of these other issues, because there is definitely more to get to. But here's one thing that I know for sure is that it seems like every time one of these tragedies have happened recently, after the fact, we've heard about all these red flags, and we've heard from people that are in their life that, oh yeah, he was having problems. He was talking about doing these type of things. He was building, right. He was the guy who did the bombing in Tennessee a few months ago. People knew that he was building bombs in his garage. I mean, like they're.
And yet nobody called.
So yeah, there's ways to. You're never going to stop every bad person from doing a bad thing, but there are ways to go about combating this and stopping many of them. And a lot of times we're hearing that the red flags, the signals were already there and we're not following up. How about we have that discussion instead of telling gun store owners to ask about their customers' mental health and where they're going with the gun that they just bought because they don't look like a hunter? Or give me a break.
And wouldn't you think it's a good idea to have your family chime in and say, hey,
yes,
Bob over here is not doing well. Let's take his guns away, as a family.
Yeah,
let's remove them.
Handle it internally as a family. Aaron, before
an intervention.
We got to wrap this up before we let you go. Of course, if people want to come out and visit you at Southern Armory, visit you on social media, all of that stuff, how can they do so?
Yep. So we got plenty more ARs coming, more high-capacity magazines for your AR, your AK, handguns, ammunition, kind of always rolling through.
That's funny to me.
You're worried, and a lot of us are. Come in and see us. We'll see what we can get you. In case, an executive order comes down or legislation gets passed to ban these things. Anyway, we're located 9901 Watson Road, 1 mile east of 270-44. Southern Armory on Facebook and southernarmory.com.
That's southernarmory.com.
Southernarmory.com.
Mm-hmm. And that's Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory, one of the great sponsors of the show, which we certainly appreciate. Aaron, great to talk with you. We'll see you same time next week.
All right, thank you.
You bet. All right, let's take a quick break. And when we get back, we are going to talk to the author of Big Game Hunting 101, Fred Klecker.
Yes.
Klecker?
Klecker?
There's no
Klecker. Why did I put that second L in there?
Because it's
like a Klecker.
When we have the man on the phone with us, will I say his name right to him?
Tune in to find out.
That's a tease.
Dun, dun, dun.
Don't go anywhere. Find out next. You are listening to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here with producer Carl Middleman.
Pew, pew.
And, of course, my partner, Bo Matthews. We are going to talk to our friends from Razorback Armory, our buddy Jesse. Coming up in a few minutes, we're going to delve back into some of these gun laws, this gun legislation, Second Amendment legislation that is being discussed. And even in some places, a couple of bills have already passed through the United States House. So we're going to get back into that discussion when we talk to Jesse in a few minutes. But we always like to, especially this time of year, get out into the great outdoors and talk about camping and fishing and hunting. And in just
hiking.
A moment, in just a moment, we're going to talk to Fred Klecker, the author of Big Game Hunting 101.
I'm clapping.
Yeah, I wanted to say it out loud right now to prove to everybody that I can pronounce his last name correctly before he's on the line. And of course, with Fred coming on and us talking about hunting and anything involving the great outdoors, when we're talking about the great outdoors on the show, it's brought to you by
Razorback Armory. They're your full-service firearm shop that strives to be the area's premier destination for firearm enthusiasts. You may say, oh, I've got a great gun store. This is the greatest gun store. Stop in De Pere on Manchester Road, half mile east of 270. Find them online at razorbackarmory.com and tell them Bo sent you.
Mm-hmm. And Bo, you have had a chance to meet with and talk with our guests, so please introduce Fred.
You know what? Fred and I met through a mutual friend, Dan Duffy, well-known name. Dan connected us, and after talking to Fred, we decided we were going to get together for lunch, and he bought, by the way. And and just hearing some of his stories out of his mouth, let alone out of the book, are great. He's a great guy, but I don't think he's been a lifelong hunter, and we're going to get to the bottom of that. But Fred, welcome. Congratulations on the book, Big Game Hunting 101, No Room Service and Other Terrifying Realities. How are you, sir?
Thanks, Bo, for the introduction. I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm good, and I owe you lunch. I know that part. Have you always been an outdoor hunter guy?
No, quite the contrary. Actually, I grew up traveling to exclusive beaches and turquoise waters and, European museums and fabulous restaurants and things like that. Really didn't have a taste for the outdoors at all until the tender age of 27 when one of my parents' neighbors caught me over at their house. We started talking and he started talking about hunting, and he was an avid hunter and wanted to know if I was. And it was pretty much a week after that, he kidnapped me, took me to his duck club, and I was hooked.
That's awesome. Fred, you know, your story is probably very relatable and familiar to many people, especially right now. We have learned, you know, on this show and talking with people in the hunting industry, camping, fishing industries, that, you know, one of maybe the few positives of the pandemic was that people, with everything being closed and, you know, activities being shut off, a lot of people either rediscovered or discovered for the first time the great outdoors. They went fishing for the first time in 20 years and remembered how much they loved it. They went camping for the first time, maybe ever, and realized how much they loved it. And I think it's so important that people are rediscovering. I think it's so good for the soul that people, you know, get outside and enjoy the great outdoors and all the great things that we can offer. Just kind of talk about that discovery and how important you think it is that people get outside and you know, and realize how great these outdoor activities can be.
Well, my partner and I founded this company on three simple things: explore, experience, and evolve, hence the name E3 Outdoors. And this is just a critical time for us, obviously, from a health perspective. But one of the really good things that came out of it, as you mentioned, was people are discovering or rediscovering the outdoors. And coming from someone who discovered the outdoors very late, I can tell you it is life-changing from the standpoint that I now appreciate a world that I never knew existed and didn't bother to really seek out myself. But also from the standpoint that this helps families bond. It helps pass this incredible tradition and heritage down through the generations. And I think that in an industry, i.e. hunting, where we're losing about 7% of hunters every year, these numbers are declining at such a rapid rate. We really need to get people interested in hunting and the great outdoors again, so that we don't, you know, lose this wonderful tradition that we've got. So,
amen,
yeah, this
that
is an incredibly important time for people for any number of reasons. But hopefully, we start engaging people and getting them to be interested in the outdoors again. And that was one of the real cornerstones to writing this book.
Now, Fred, I got to interject here. You are a guy who grew up with caviar, champagne, art galleries, fancy world travels. I want to know what your biggest shock was when you did finally make it into the woods with your neighborhood friend. Was it, because even on the front of the book, and by the way, the book is really funny. You sound really serious right now. Come on, loosen up, buddy. Was your first shock the outhouse? Is that, I mean, because that's the picture on the book.
Yeah, I'll tell you, that was a terrifying moment. You really have no idea what runs through your mind when, you know, you're used to first-class resorts, and you say, by the way, where's the bathroom? And somebody points out the door and says, 30 feet across the ridge. It is a sobering experience there. And cold, by the way.
Fred, we're talking to Fred Klecker, the author of Big Game Hunting 101, No Room Service, and Other Terrifying Realities. Fred, I've told the story on the show before. You know, I went camping with my grandparents and fishing with my grandpa and my dad all throughout my childhood, and then, you know, got into my 20s and, you know, got into
a different
lifestyle and hanging out with my friends, and all of a sudden, you know, the great outdoors and you know, doing those type of things weren't as important to me. And then in my early 30s, I was at a friend's house who lived on a farm and had a farm pond, and walked down and he said, yeah, you know, we fish in this pond all the time. And he handed me a fishing pole, and I'd barely fished at all in years at that point. And I caught a largemouth bass, and I literally this moment stands out as it is cliche as it sounds. It was like when this fish bit the hook and I started to reel it in, it was like I had this life-changing moment. Like, whoa, this is fun. I love this, and I want to do more of it. Did you have any moment like that, like a specific moment where you were out there in the woods and you were like, this is where I want to be. This is great.
Yeah, it was really bizarre. I was not at home at all in the woods at this point. But I was sent out to sit in a spot alone, which, of course, terrified me. And I'm sitting on a rock, just kind of taking it all in and being scared of every single noise that I hear. And I kind of found an inner peace, didn't really recognize, the fact that I was really kind of in deep thought over just taking in the environment and noticing every little detail that made up what I was looking at. It was kind of like taking a camera lens and zeroing in on a spot and really realizing what composes this amazing outdoor scenery that I'm looking at. And the strangest thing happened. I found my soul. And to this day, I remember that as being like the linchpin in, this is part of who I am. This is something that I absolutely love. And this is going to be a lifelong passion of mine. It really was amazing. And I think every hunter out there, every outdoorsman out there remembers the time that, you know, they were walking through the woods and they realized, it's not just a bunch of trees. There are leaves and there are frogs and spiders. And if you're at the right time of the year, you can hear ice-coated branches clicking together in the breeze. And it all comes together in this, this big flourish. And you're like, wow, I get it. I get why people can come out here and sit for hours on end for entire seasons.
Yeah, I think that was the biggest thing that I took away from our lunch is that Fred really appreciated the outdoors so much more. And that's why I think you wrote the book, Fred. It's called Big Game Hunting 101, No Room Service and Other Terrifying Realities. And again, I'm about a third of the way through the thing, and it's hilarious. Even just your experience at Lambert Airport. Matter of fact, I text you when I got to a certain point. This is my first LOL moment, and it was fantastic. But Fred, tell people where you can get the book, because we want to sell books.
Absolutely. You can get the book at www.e3outdoors.com or on Amazon. If you go to the E3 Outdoors website, you can plug in a code, EXPLORE101, all capitals, no spaces, and receive 20% off through the end of the month.
That is Fred Klecker. The book is Big Game Hunting 101, No Room Service and Other Terrifying Realities. Fred, great talking with you. Good luck with the book, and I hope we get a chance to talk with you again sometime soon.
Fantastic, gentlemen. Thanks so much for having me.
You bet. All right.
See you, buddy.
Go ahead and take another break, and when we get back, we will talk to our friends at Razorback Armory. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Second Amendment Radio and The Great Outdoors.
Boy named Billy Joe grew restless on the farm, a boy filled with wanderlust who really meant no harm. He changed his clothes and shined his boots and combed his dark hair down, and his mother cried as he walked out, "Don't take your guns to town, son. Leave your guns at home, Bill."
I don't even know when to talk. Like, I don't even want to
play the whole song.
I know. I don't even want to cut it off. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and The Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here with my partner, Bo Matthews, and our producer, Carl Middleman.
Hello.
New Chad. Pew, pew.
Pew, pew.
All of the above. the person who picks all of this great music that you hear each and every week. And I want to remind folks that not only do we have the radio show that you're listening to right now, which we certainly appreciate, but we also have our podcast. We actually podcast the show that you're listening to and a podcast exclusive. So there's two podcasts out there every week that you can pick up. You can pick up this show on Fridays. So you can actually download the podcast of the radio show before the radio show even airs. And then on Mondays, you can get the podcast exclusive, which is exactly that, just a further discussion. And sometimes we stay on topic and sometimes we don't.
Nope.
In the podcast exclusive, you can get both of those podcasts anywhere you get podcasts. I recommend the radio.com app because that is the best place to get the podcast for Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors. Joining us on the podcast exclusive and for the rest of this show is our friends from Razorback Armory. Jesse's going to be on with us just in just a second. Razorback, of course, is one of the great sponsors of this show and also a supporter of an event that you have coming up, Bo.
Absolutely. It is the fifth annual. Actually, there's been more than that, but the fifth annual Big Dogs Poker Bash is May 16th. A lot of people have been calling. It was right before the pandemic began. We got the Poker Bash in, and it's normally a February event. This one's going to happen on May 16th at Brookdale Farms, and a lot of great silent auction items. That's where Razorback Armory comes in. Jesse, thank you for stepping up to the plate, as you did last year, to support this. I got a question, though. Do you have a Glock P80 9mm in stock?
Oh, we're just shopping right off the bat here?
Well, no, I've got raffle tickets for it because I've got one.
Gotcha. All right.
No, I don't have a P80 one in stock right now.
Well, you want to buy a raffle ticket for it?
Well, sure.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we're buying. Are we buying guns? Are we selling raffle tickets or all of the above?
Yes.
Yes, all of the above.
So, Jess, we have, I don't know, 10 minutes or so left of the show today, and really appreciate you sticking around for the podcast exclusive because there is plenty to get to. We were discussing earlier in the show some of the new legislation that is being discussed and even some of it's in progress in Washington, D.C. You know, it seems like after a couple months of ignoring the Second Amendment platform that President Biden had been promoting while he was campaigning for president, now it is in full swing, and they are promoting many pieces of gun legislation and even maybe some executive actions, one of which I wanted to specifically ask you about while we had you on the air has to do with background checks. And there are actually a couple of bills regarding background checks. And obviously, with you being a gun store and selling a lot of guns, you're doing a lot of background checks. You're also very famous for being probably the best place in the area to get silencers. And so, you know, obviously, there's a whole background check that goes involved with that. One of these things is to extend the background. One of these bills would extend the time it takes for a background check to go through. In your opinion, being a person that does so many of these things, how is the background check system currently? Do you feel like are you confident that it does a great job, or does it need some reform, as some people in Washington would suggest?
Well, I think, you know, the background check system as it's working, as we do it right now, when we do the 4473, the component they're looking at, you're still going to be able to get a instant proceed if they don't need to go to further review. They're looking at further review now. You know, basically, they're looking at that as 3 to 5 business days as it stands now, and then you get proceeded whether you get a response or not. The legislation, as what we understand it to be, is that they're wanting to extend that period so they can look at people that they want to a lot closer, find out if, you know, if there's something else there. Very rarely, and I mean maybe once or twice a year, do we see something that was preceded, and then after it was preceded, they call us and say, or, you know, we get the information that, hey, we didn't want to proceed that. And there's measures in place for that. Actually, we have to give them the information. It goes to ATF, and then ATF makes a, and honest to God, they make a judgment call at that point in time. Is it worth it to go get this gun? This person shouldn't have, whatever they may have done in their past, and why it popped. So we have those keys in place right now. They're trying to do this legislation to give them a little bit longer time frame. I know that the time frame hasn't been etched in stone. I think initially they wanted it indefinitely, which is horrible because push everybody on delay and then you don't ever have to deliver a gun. I think if they, you know, if they're looking at, you know, extending that to from, you know, 3 to 5 to 10 or something like that, that might be a negotiable point. But is it necessary? I personally, in my business, what we do here, I don't see that we have a big problem in the industry doing that. Like, we're not delivering a bunch of guns and then they're coming back and saying, oh my God, all these people got guns they shouldn't have. Yeah.
Hey, Jess, were you in the gun retail business when there was a wait time? Have you ever been in the business? Yeah. Or I guess you probably know people I always thought the wait time was for somebody to calm down, like, because a gun is usually not an impulse buy. I mean, other than, ooh, I want that. For a specific situation, and with computers so fast now, everything can happen a lot faster. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're at, you know, wait, you know, 15 minutes until they respond back from the headquarters. Do you think a wait time would help situations in this case?
I don't think that we see it for our business and what we sell and what we do. I don't see that. I don't see it personally. I mean, we get notified if our guns are used in crimes. I mean, if I had a ton of guns that people were coming in and they were saying, oh, man, all these guns have been used in crimes. You sold all these guns. Then, yeah, maybe we need to address that. But from our standpoint, I don't see that. And we're not constantly being bombarded with that. I mean, it's like we're trying to fix a problem here that we don't have.
You know, Jesse, that's that's a great point, because I think that there are things that can be. I don't think that we should just say, no, the system's perfect and everything's fine, mm-hmm. and bad things are going to happen. I think there are things that we can work on, but I don't think it's the background check situation. I don't think it's what's happening. I don't think it's the gun laws. I don't think it's the gun stores. I mentioned earlier, you know, many of these shootings, almost every one, at least of the recent ones, the perpetrator has had many red flags in their past. Yeah. You find out all of these things about their mental health state and the actions and the things that they were saying ahead of time.
They were on a watch list.
Yeah, there are ways to address this and some reform that can be made, but I'm not sure that the focus of that needs to be on the gun laws and the gun stores. It needs to be in other areas, my opinion.
And if they've done those things and they're flagged, then technically, if you're flagged, you should be flagged. You should be flagged in that system so that when you go to purchase a firearm, you do get the delay, which then can end up in a denial. And the tricky part of that is when you start down that road and we start delaying and denying more people, there needs to be an avenue, okay, for those people to dispute the delay and deny, you know, with the federal government. Hey, show me why I can't have this, okay? And if they prove beyond a reasonable doubt, well, it's because you're a felon. You know, I mean, it's because you shouldn't have one. You know, or, hey, you're on our watch list, you know, this and that. You know, so basically they can't flag you. It can't be an arbitrary thing where they just flag you and say, hey, we flag you. We don't like you. You know, they have to be able to show their work and say, hey, we flag you for these reasons. These reasons,
the FBI,
you know,
is watching
are ABC.
You.
Yeah. Well, and the reasons are ABC, and then you can fight it. We don't want to give them the keys and say, do what you want, flag who you want, because then if you just didn't like someone, you could get them flagged and then they couldn't, you know, exercise their Second Amendment right.
And everything's not,
shouldn't have firearms not having it. Yeah.
And everything's not premeditated. Some people snap. They've got a TV show called Snapped because people snap and, you know, lose their mind. Yeah. Remember, going postal was a derogatory statement in the 80s. Now they've got stores called Going Postal. They're postal services that they for shipping and stuff.
There's a lot to unpack with what Bo just said, and there's a lot more things to talk about, which we will
and
do.
And we got a phone call.
And Jesse's getting phone calls because they're always busy there at Razorback. Jess, we got to wrap up the show. We'll continue this discussion in the podcast exclusive. If people want to come out and visit you there at Razorback Armory, how do they do it?
It's Razorback Armory, 12072 Manchester Road. We're about a half mile east of 270 on Manchester, right next to the tennis shop. Tell them Bo sent you. Also on social media, razorbackarmory.com, Facebook, Instagram. Look us up or stop by.
Great stuff. Razorback Armory, one of the great sponsors of the show. We appreciate that greatly, and we appreciate you listening. And make sure you download the podcast exclusive when it comes out on Monday. For
and
my
share
partner,
it.
Yes, and share it with all like-minded people. People who like guns, people who like hunting, people who like fishing, all of that. That's why we are here. For my partner, Bo Matthews, and our producer, Carl Middleman, I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Don't take
See you, boys.
To town, son. Leave your guns at home, Bill. Don't take your guns to town.
Get more at 971talk.com.
A young cowboy named Billy Joe grew restless on the farm. A boy filled with wanderlust who really meant no harm. He changed his clothes and shined his boots and combed his dark hair down. And his mother cried as he walked out, "Don't take your guns to town, son.
Wow.
Leave your guns at home, Bill."
I don't even know when to talk. Like, I don't even want to
play the whole song.
I know. I don't even want to cut it off. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here with my partner Bo Matthews and our producer Carl Middleman.
Hello,
new Chad. Pew pew
pew pew.
All of the above. The person who picks all of this great music that you hear each and every week. And I want to remind folks that not only do we have the radio show that you're listening to right now, which we certainly appreciate, but we also have our podcast. We actually podcast the show that you're listening to and a podcast exclusive. So there's two podcasts out there every week that you can pick up. You can pick up this show on Fridays. So you can actually download the podcast of the radio show before the radio show even airs. And then on Mondays, you can get the podcast exclusive, which is exactly that, just a further discussion. And sometimes we stay on topic and sometimes we don't.
Nope.
In the podcast exclusive, you can get both of those podcasts. Anywhere you get podcasts, I recommend the radio.com app because that is the best place to get the podcast for Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Joining us on the podcast exclusive and for the rest of this show is our friends from Razorback Armory. Jesse's going to be on with us just in just a second. Razorback, of course, is one of the great sponsors of this show and also a supporter of an event that you have coming up, Bo.
Absolutely. It is the fifth annual. Actually, there's been more than that, but the fifth annual Big Dogs Poker Bash is May 16th. A lot of people have been calling. It was right before the pandemic began. We got the Poker Bash in, and it's normally a February event. This one's going to happen on May 16th at Brookdale Farms, and a lot of great silent auction items. That's where Razorback Armory comes in. Jesse, thank you for stepping up to the plate, as you did last year, to support this. I got a question, though. Do you have a Glock P80 9mm in stock?
Oh, we're just shopping right off the bat here?
Well, no, I've got raffle tickets for them because I've got one.
Gotcha. All right.
No, I don't have a P80 one in stock right now.
Well, you want to buy a raffle ticket for it?
Well, sure.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we're buying. Are we buying guns? Are we selling raffle tickets or all of the above?
Yes.
Yes, all of the above.
So, Jess, we have, I don't know, 10 minutes or so left of the show today, and really appreciate you sticking around for the podcast exclusive because there is plenty to get to. We were discussing earlier in the show some of the new legislation that is being discussed and even some of it's in progress in Washington, D.C. You know, it seems like after a couple months of ignoring the Second Amendment platform that President Biden had been promoting while he was campaigning for president, now it is in full swing, and they are promoting many pieces of gun legislation and even maybe some executive actions, one of which I wanted to specifically ask you about while we had you on the air. Has to do with background checks. And there are actually a couple of bills regarding background checks. And obviously, with you being a gun store and selling a lot of guns, you're doing a lot of background checks. You're also very famous for being probably the best place in the area to get silencers. And so, you know, obviously, there's a whole background check that goes involved with that. One of these things is to extend the background. One of these bills would extend the time it takes for a background check to go through. In your opinion, being a person that does so many of these things, How is the background check system currently? Do you feel like are you confident that it does a great job, or does it need some reform, as some people in Washington would suggest?
Well, I think, you know, the background check system as it's working, as we do it right now, when we do the 4473, the component they're looking at, you're still going to be able to get a instant proceed if they don't need to go to further review. They're looking at further review now. You know, basically, they're looking at that as 3 to 5 business days as it stands now, and then you get proceeded whether you get a response or not. The legislation, as what we understand it to be, is that they're wanting to extend that period so they can look at people that they want to a lot closer, find out if, you know, if there's something else there. Very rarely, and I mean maybe once or twice a year, do we see something that was preceded, and then after it was preceded, they call us and say, or, you know, we get the information that, hey, we didn't want to proceed that. And there's measures in place for that. Actually, we have to give them the information. It goes to ATF, and then ATF makes a, and honest to God, they make a judgment call at that point in time. Is it worth it to go get this gun? This person shouldn't have, whatever they may have done in their past, and why it popped. So we have those keys in place right now. They're trying to do this legislation to give them a little bit longer time frame. I know that the time frame hasn't been etched in stone. I think they wanted it indefinitely, which is horrible because push everybody on delay, and then you don't ever have to deliver a gun. I think if they, you know, if they're looking at, you know, extending that to from, you know, 3 to 5 to 10 or something like that, that might be a negotiable point. But is it necessary? I personally, in my business, what we do here, I don't see that we have a big problem in the industry doing that. Like, we're not delivering a bunch of guns and then they're coming back and saying, oh my God, all these people got guns they shouldn't have. Yeah.
Hey, Jess, were you in the mm-hmm. Gun retail business when there was a wait time? Have you ever been in the business? Yeah. Or I guess you probably know people that yeah. I always thought the wait time was for somebody to calm down, like, because a gun is usually not an impulse buy. I mean, other than, ooh, I want that. But yeah. for a specific situation, and with computers so fast now, everything can happen a lot faster. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're at, you know, wait, you know, 15 minutes until they respond back from the headquarters. Do you think a wait time would help situations in this case?
I don't think that we see it in for our business and what we sell and what we do. I don't see that. I don't see it personally. I mean, I don't. We get notified if our guns are used in crimes. I mean, if I right. had a ton of guns that people were coming in and they were saying, "Oh man, all these guns have been used in crimes. You sold all these guns." Then, yeah, maybe we need to address that. But from our standpoint, I don't see that. And we're not constantly being bombarded with that. I mean, it's like we're trying to fix a problem here that we don't have.
You know, Jesse, that's exactly yeah. that's a great point, because I think that there are things that can be. I don't think that we should just say, no, the system's perfect and everything's fine mm-hmm. and things bad things are going to happen. I think there are things that we can work on, but I don't think it's the background check situation. I don't think it's what's happening. I don't think it's the gun laws. I don't think it's the gun stores. I mentioned earlier, you know, many of these shootings, almost every one, at least of the recent ones, the perpetrator has had many red flags in their past. Yeah. You find out all of these things about their mental health state and the actions and the things that they were saying ahead of time.
They were on a watch list.
Yeah, there are ways yeah. to address this and some reform that can be made, but I'm not sure that the focus of that needs to be on the gun laws and the gun stores. It needs to be in yeah. other areas, my opinion.
And if they've done those things and they're flagged, then technically, if you're flagged, you should be flagged. You should mm-hmm. be flagged in that system so that when you go to purchase a firearm, you do get the delay, which then can end up in a denial. And the tricky part of that is when you start down that road and we start delaying and denying more people, there needs to be an avenue, okay, for those people to dispute the delay and deny, you know, with the federal government. Hey, show me what show me why I can't have this, okay? And if they prove beyond a reasonable doubt, well, it's because you're a felon. You know, I mean, it's because you shouldn't have one. You know, or, hey, you're on our watch list, you know, this and that. You know, so basically they can't flag you. It can't be an arbitrary thing where they just flag you and say, hey, we flag you. We don't like you. You know, they have to be able to show right. their work and say, hey, we flagged you for these reasons. These reasons,
the FBI
you know,
is watching
are ABC.
You.
Yeah. Well, and the reasons are ABC, and then you can then you can fight it. It's we don't want to give them the keys and say, do what you want, flag who you want, because then if you just didn't like someone, you could get them flagged, and then they couldn't, you know, exercise their Second Amendment right.
And everything's not
shouldn't have firearms not having it. Yeah.
And everything's not premeditated. Some people snap. They've got a TV show called Snapped because people snap and, you know, lose their mind. Yeah. Remember Going Postal was a derogatory statement in the 80s. Now they've got stores called Going Postal. They're postal services that they for shipping and stuff.
There's a lot to unpack with what Bo just said, and there's a lot more things to talk about, which we will
and
do.
And we got a phone call.
And Jesse's getting phone calls because they're always busy there at Razorback. Jesse, we got to wrap up the show. We'll continue this discussion in the podcast exclusive. If people want to come out and visit you there at Razorback Armory, how do they do it?
It's Razorback Armory, 12072 Manchester Road. We're about a half mile east of 270 on Manchester, right next to the tennis shop. Tell them Bo sent you. Also on social media, RazorbackArmory.com, Facebook, Instagram. Look us up or stop by.
Great stuff. Razorback Armory, one of the great sponsors of the show. We appreciate that greatly, and we appreciate you listening. And make sure you download the podcast exclusive when it comes out on Monday. For
and
my
share
partner...
It.
Yes, and share it with all like-minded people. People who like guns, people who like hunting, people who like fishing, all of that. That's why we are here. For my partner, Bo Matthews, and our producer, Carl Middleman, I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Don't take
See you, boys.
To town, son. Leave your guns at home, Bill. Don't take your guns to town.
Get more at 971talk.com.